Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here. Mike Morial, you were there as we record things here on Tuesday, April 28th. Mike, how are things?
Everything's going well, Adam. Going back to my roots a little bit. I brewed some Taster's Choice fresh roast this morning. Very delightful. But we're passing the time here as best we can. I do feel the NFL draft was something all sports fans kind of sunk their teeth into, particularly since everyone has been starving for some sports-related content that was in real time. I did watch some of the first round and most of the second round since my Indianapolis Colts had three picks to work with in that round, Adam. So it was impressive, though, for sure. You learn that Commissioner Roger Goodell announced picks from a studio in his basement with more than 600 camera feeds from homes of 85 draft prospects, the head coaches in the NFL, GMs, as well as fans and college football coaches. So that's an incredible burden on an IT department, right? But they pulled it off. And as far as I know, there weren't any hacked accounts or feeds or anything of that sort. So we both know the NHL is doing its due diligence and thinking of ways the league can still conduct a memorable and entertaining draft.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest NFL fan. I was in and out on the first round. I didn't watch anything beyond that. But what really stood out to me, what I thought was cool, was the live look-ins they were able to do in the GM's house, the coach's house, the prospect's house. Like, if we can't all be in one place, we can go virtual into, you know, somebody's living room and watch the real, true, authentic family reaction. I thought some of that stuff was really, really cool. Like, I'm not invested in college prospects like you are, or like other people are, but it's neat to see them, you know, with their family, their parents, their brothers and sisters, girlfriends, see them have that authentic reaction to knowing this huge moment in their future is going to happen. And maybe there's some things there that the NHL can take for whenever we do our draft.
Yeah, you know, it was cool too, Adam, that, you know, whenever someone had an opportunity, whether it was, you know, the commissioner or a coach or a GM, they would make mention of the healthcare workers, the first responders, countless others on the front lines in the battle against COVID-19. I thought the NFL did an admirable job here, and there's a lot to take from and even perhaps build upon if the NHL were to move in this direction.
Yeah, and I know the commissioner came out and talked about maybe doing the NHL draft in June. It was originally scheduled for the end of June. You know, there are some issues there, some positives, some negatives. Obviously, everybody just wants live hockey to talk about on the air, but you know, there are some issues that kind of stand in the way of making that possibly happen.
I mean, you know, determining the draft order for one, you know, what to do with certain contingent draft picks, you know, waiting months to hold the draft would maybe present some issues, but that's why you've got to look at all the options, right, Adam, balance them and try to make a good judgment. And we all know Commissioner Gary Bettman is doing that with the feedback from the clubs and many other, you know, listening to authorities in that decision. So we know that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when and how. So we would all look forward to that, no doubt about it.
Yeah, some smarter people than us are going to make those decisions. there was a little bit of draft-related news coming down the pike on Tuesday. The Hlinka-Gretzky Cup tournament was canceled. That was supposed to be held August 3rd to the 8th in Edmonton and Red Deer. I know we're still talking about the 2020 draft, but that's the annual kickoff. It would have been the big kickoff for the 2021 draft. It's a big event for the prospects. It's a huge event for the scouts and the teams. To not have it, it's a really unfortunate circumstance of the times we live in.
Yeah, I mean, the Cup has taken place every year since the tournament's inception in 1991. You know, these type tournaments, Adam, we know, are invaluable for both player development and scouting. It gives young players the chance to face the most talented of their peers. And it also allows those NHL teams to kind of take a look at the next crop of future talent and project who they want, you know, in the 2021 draft. Because let's face it, a lot of the players participating in the Hlinka will be going pretty high in the 2021 draft. I mean, I you know, we saw one of them playing for Finland at the World Junior Championship in the U-20s. And Atu Ratti of Finland, he was incredible, that young kid playing as a 16-year-old for Finland at the World Juniors. And he's going to go really high. And I think right now, from what Goran Stube told me, the NHL Director of European Scouting, he could be number one in this draft class. So a lot of players that we would have seen, we're not going to be able to. But we'll have to wait and see, you know, to see these top amateurs for 2021 at a later date.
Well, we're going to stick to the 2020 draft, and we're going to bring in John Williams from NHL Central Scouting today. He's going to talk about some of the top 2020 draft prospects from the Western Hockey League. But before we get to John, I just want to remind you that you can catch up on all of our previous shows by subscribing to NHL Draft Class. Last week, we had Joey Tenute from Central Scouting on talking about some of the best guys from the Ontario League. We did a deep dive on our mock drafts. Plus, we've had exclusive interviews with some of the top prospects for this year's draft, including Alexi Lafreniere, Quentin Byfield, Jake Sanderson, and more.
Seth Appert was on with us, Adam, discussing the National Team Development Program under-18 team. That was a really great show. A lot of interesting content there, particularly when you consider the NTTP, you know, had so many first-round picks last year. What do they have this year? And Seth went into a deep dive with that. We also had a little exclusive interview there with Jake Sanderson. It was great to get to know the big defenseman from the NTTP and what he's all about. Probably be the first American-born player off the board in this draft. And then our interview with Dan Marr a few weeks back, just discussing how the meetings went, the final meetings to determine these top prospects and 217 players in the North American ranks. It's a lot, but these guys, these scouts, these evaluators were able to get it done virtually, which seemed like an impossible task, but they got it done. And Dan told us about that. And he also discussed a lot of these top prospects in the 2020 draft.
Well, John Williams was part of those Central Scouting final meetings, and he's going to talk to us today about the top players from the WHL. Let's bring in John now. John, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class. And first and most importantly, how are you? How's the family? And I hope everyone's staying healthy and staying safe.
Oh, we're good. Yeah, we're just doing our part by laying low and staying at home for the most part. And I think it's something that we should be able to handle. Just staying home and watching Netflix is not that hard of a thing to do.
Hey, John, how much more challenging is it for NHL club scouts this year heading into such a deep draft class because of the cancellation of the CHL, the NCAA playoffs? And in addition to that, if you could just let us know how difficult it was to hear the news that the 2020 Hlinka would be canceled.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to see players as many times as you can. Like, there's no any viewing that you get is a good viewing. So from that standpoint, it's obviously going to make things more difficult. The thing is that everybody's in the same boat, so everybody's on equal footing. The teams that work hard and do their homework and have good coverage, with all the players, they'll probably have a bit of an advantage, but that's always the case. And obviously, hearing about just the news about Gretzky Hlinka, that's a tough one. Obviously, for those kids that play in that tournament, that's such a huge, huge way to start the season. It's a great event for the scouts. It's a great event for the players, and it's really it's disappointing, but obviously it's something that we have to do, so we just move on.
All right, so let's talk about the positive stuff. And in the Central Scouting final rankings, Caden Gooley, the defenseman from Prince Albert, he's number 8. Braden Schneider, the defenseman from Brandon, is number 9. What stands out about each of them, and how hard was it to rank one ahead of the other?
Well, that was a difficult thing to do, to choose between the two. I think where our group was kind of divided pretty much, like with any kind of group or any kind of discussion like this, you have preferences. Everybody's got preferences that they like, certain types of players they like better than others. So I think everybody really understood these guys are both very good players. One's left shot, one's a right shot. Schneider's a little bit bigger right now. I think, he's a little bit older, as, being a late birthday. Gooley has maybe a little bit, I think in our minds anyway, that what it came down to is we think he might have a little bit more of an offensive upside. And that was why we gave him the nod. But, obviously when they're right beside each other like that, they're both very good players. They're ranked very high. And they both have a chance to be very good NHL players.
John, how hard was it to assess Damon Hunt's season since he missed nearly 3 months for Muth Jaw with that skate cut? He played just 28 games. He was number 25 on the final rankings.
Well, he was a tough guy for me to see because of the timing of the injury. I believe I think Dan and maybe one or two of our other guys were at the game or just before he got hurt or just after. So, you know, we had seen him in the summertime. We saw him last year, obviously. He played as a 16-year-old in Moose Jaw and was a very good player for the team. So he was a guy, obviously, that was on our radar to be a potential, you know, high pick. We had him rated as an A player, potential first round. And then I got to see him just after he got back. I was going to see him twice, but I only saw him once. I don't know if you heard. He got suspended for a game towards the end of the season. And then he came back. I saw him in one of the final, probably the second last game I saw this year. And he didn't do anything to say that he didn't deserve to be there. You know, like after being off for 3 months, like you said, he was able to play big minutes for a team, you know that in Moose Jaw that's in a rebuilding phase. And he did, you know, very well, played a lot of minutes, all situations, made the right plays. Plays the game in a more of a, you know, you'll hear some guys say, older guys, about plays in the rocking chair a little bit, like he lets the game come to him a little bit. So I just think as a group, we felt that he hadn't really done anything to say that he didn't deserve to be there. And I know for everybody in the scouting fraternity, really, that getting a chance to see him at the under 18 was sort of what everybody was looking forward to. And then that doesn't happen. So again, that's going to be a tough one for teams, you know, to make that decision on. But from what I saw of him, he looked like he's certainly a guy that should come into consideration in that area.
John, Brandon center Ridley Craig jumped from number 14 in the final ranks from number 25 at the midterm, 60 points in 56 games. Where did he improve over the course of the season?
He's a guy that, you know, I've seen him play for the last couple of years, and I actually saw his first game as a 15-year-old, I think he was, when he played his first game for Brandon. They were in Red Deer one night, and he's grown physically. He's matured physically over the last couple of years, and he's one of those guys that every time you see him, he's getting better. And one of the first things you notice about him from the first time I saw him is he's got a very high hockey IQ. He's a very smart player. He can play in any type of situation. He showed with Team Canada in the summertime that he could play sort of more of a support checking role, or he could kill penalties, or he can be an offensive guy. Very good on the power play. And he also brings in an element to his game that you don't see quite as often anymore with some guys. He's a bit of a, like, you have to have your head up when he's on the ice, because if you don't, he'll knock you on your rear end pretty quickly. He does kind of hunt for guys sometimes, which gets him into trouble every once in a while. But for a lot of guys that, you know, watch the game a lot, it's nice to see that kind of element in the game still. Like, contact physicality is still a big part of the game. And he can bring that, as well as bring the skill and the smarts and all those other things.
Yeah, Portland left wing Cross Hannes, John, number 58 in the final ranking. He's one of five players from Portland on the final rankings. And he has a pretty interesting background. Born in Dallas, Texas, a product of the Dallas Stars Elite Hockey Club. He's the cousin of LA Kings defense prospect Cale Clegg. And he also became a little bit of a YouTube sensation with that lacrosse-style spin-move goal he scored from behind the net in September. What you've seen of him, how impressive has Hannes been this season?
Well, he's been very good. He's taken a big step, I think, this year. He did play there as a 16-year-old and was just, you know, kind of finding his way. And then you saw, you know, he scored that goal in September. He had another one in the season, too. So he had two of those lacrosse-style goals, I think, this year. And he does come from a hockey background as well. I think his dad played in the Western Hockey League and ended up playing, I think, in the East Coast League or the Central League. So he's been around the game his whole life. But what he did this year is he played, you could see the confidence grow in him as the season went on. And he has the game breaker skill that you'd like to see from a player. And you see that when he can do that kind of a like that Michigan style goal, lacrosse style goal, that he can do that And he can do it. He did it one time from, I think, standing behind the net. And then he did another one while in motion, you know, at some speed. So he's got a lot of skill. He's shown that he can score. He took a, you know, he made a big improvement this year in terms of his production. And, you know, with all the kids on that Portland team, they play more of a four-line game than some of the other teams. So there are times when these guys don't get the same amount of ice time as some of the other players. And he was still able to produce when he was out there. And so he was a guy that really impressed all of our guys with how much he improved over the year and what he was able to do on the ice.
Speaking of Portland, John, Seth Jarvis finished second in the dub with 98 points. Did he continue to raise his level all season as it went along? What are some of the strong points of his game? I've heard he played with speed a little similar to a William Nylander or a Travis Konecny.
Yeah, he plays the game all out. And just like I was saying about with Cross, you know, they roll four lines there in Portland a lot of the time. He also, his center for the second part of the year mostly was a 16-year-old kid who we'll be talking about next year, I think. And so, he, you know, he didn't get the same amount of ice time as some of the other top players in the draft. But when he's out there, he's a difference maker. And he's a difference maker on both sides of the puck. Great penalty killer. Great on the power play. 5-on-5. He pushes the game. He plays with intensity and he plays hard. He goes to the net hard. He does everything with purpose, you know, and he's just a very good hockey player. And I think he's a guy that, like a few of the other guys we've talked about, can, because of that, will find ways to contribute no matter where you put him, you know, what line you put him on or when he's on the ice, he'll find ways to contribute to your team.
Edmonton left wing Jake Neighbors, 5'11", 195 pounds. Likes the power forward type game, and his coach considers him mature beyond his years. John, what have you seen in him in his second full WHL season with the Oil Kings?
Well, again, you know, he's a guy that we had seen quite a bit of as a 16-year-old. He was in, he played a lot for them and was a big part of that team, you know, as a 16-year-old this year. Takes another step, and I think when he's most effective when he's playing that physical kind of game. He's one of the guys, I think, in this draft that has the potential to play more that heavy sort of game, but he also has very good skill. He's a very good playmaker, you know, short game around the net, down low, in the corners. He can win the battles for the puck. You know, he's strong on the puck. He's heavy on the puck, heavy stick, and then he can make a nice little pass and you know, for a goal, or he can score himself. And the other thing that, you know, when he coach talks about his maturity beyond his years, I did read this year about him, you know, he's best friends with Ozzie Weisblatt, whose mother is deaf. And so Jake took it upon himself to learn sign language so he could communicate with her and include her in their conversations with Ozzie. And, you know, to me, that just says an awful lot about a young kid who would do something like that for his friend and his friend's mother.
That is an amazing story. Speaking of Ozzie Weisblatt, though, he's a forward of Prince Albert. Now, I had a scout tell me he has a little bit of Justin Williams in him, both for his skill and his leadership ability. What have you liked about Weisblatt when you've watched him? And do you see that as an apt comparison, or is there somebody maybe you have better in mind to compare Ozzie to for people who haven't watched him?
Well, I think he does bring those attributes to the game. And what I notice with Ozzie is he does. Skill, he's quick. Again, another guy that really had an impact on a very good Prince Albert team as a 16-year-old, and then again took it to another level this year. Played both, you know, he started the year mostly playing the wing, and then they move him to center, and he shows that he's very adept at playing in the middle as well. He's quick, he's very elusive with the puck, and he plays, you see it on the ice, that he plays the game with passion. He plays, he has fun when he's playing. Like he can see that he loves being on the ice, and he just brings it every time he's on the ice. And I think, you know, as Mike can attest to, I really love these comparison questions. They really, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. But, so yeah, you know, I was thinking about it, and I see there's maybe a little bit of like Max Domi as well, similar size, you know, and very skilled. I don't think he doesn't have maybe quite as – doesn't play at this stage anyway with quite the edge maybe that Max does. But, you know, one of those guys who's not the biggest guy on the ice, but strong on his feet, strong on his stick, can make plays, competes, and, again, a guy that can be a difference maker.
John, your comparisons are always spot on. No doubt about it, buddy. So, listen, 52 players from the WHL were listed on Central's final rankings. Would you be able to choose for us maybe one player outside the top 31 who you consider to be a diamond in the rough for this draft?
No. There's many of them.
Many. Well, give us two or three then. That'll be awesome.
when you look at the list, and there's a reason guys are on the list, right? You know, and in the order that they're in. But they're on the list. Guys get on the list because they have a chance. They do something that gives them an opportunity to play. But, you know, there's a couple of guys that kind of come to mind. Like Jack Finley is a guy, you know, that we had, I think, in the high 30s on our list. A big guy who got better. And, Mike, you've sat in on our meetings, and you like to hear, or we always like to talk about guys whose game is going in the right direction. And he's one of those guys who every time you saw him, he got better. And, you know, again, he's 6'5". He's still growing. You know, he looks like he's 12 off the ice, but he's 6'5". And when he fills out, I think he's going to be a heck of a player. And then, you know, a couple other guys like Gage Gonsalves that plays in Everett, who got passed over in the draft last year, only scored one goal last year, had 30 some odd this year, and played as a number one center. So that's a big step. Again, a guy whose game went in the right direction. And another guy that I am intrigued by anyway is Owen Peterson that plays in Winnipeg. Big winger. I saw them early. Didn't really do an awful lot for me when I saw him early, but you know, as the year progressed, he got better and better and ended up, you know, with scoring, I can't remember if it was 23 or 28 goals or something like that, but a 6'3" guy who's got good hands and is smart like that, and who just needs to get, you know, improve his skating a bit. And, you know, that can happen. You know, there's a big change between the age of 17 and 19 and 22, and you know, guys that work at the game and improve those areas, they can, if they've got that skill and that hockey sense, they're ahead of the game to start with, that's for sure.
So, John, let me ask you about one other potential diamond here. Alex Cotton, the defenseman from Lethbridge, he led all WHL defensemen with 20 goals and 67 points. He was number 118 in the midterm. He went up to 79 in the final ranking. What worked for him in the second half of the season, and what did you like about his game?
Well, I don't think it's not necessarily that it's things changed in the second half. It was more that, like, he went from a guy, you know, he's been passed over in the draft. So his initial draft year, he had 2 goals and 7 assists or something like that. And then, so this year he comes out like a house on fire. He's getting a lot of points, point a game or more for the most part. And so I think initially, you know, we had him at that spot, and it was more, okay, now show us that we've recognized you with the midterm ranking, that, you know, you're on the radar, because he wasn't even on our radar to start the year. And then what he did in the second half is he continued to get better and better and improve upon what he'd already been doing. And, you know, he's a very good power play guy. Like, he sees the ice very well, very poised, patient. You know, he has that ability to wait that extra fraction of a second to let things open up, gets the puck through, and he's got a good one-timer. You know, obviously a guy that can score. He'll get up and join the rush and score that way as well. So, you know, like I said earlier, a guy whose game was going in the right direction from the start of the year, and he continued to do so.
All right, John. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Stay safe. Hope to see you around the rink soon. And thanks for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks, John.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks again to John Williams for coming on NHL Draft Class today. Mike, a lot of good stuff there. You know, what really stood out to me was when John was talking about Jake Nabers and Ozzie Weisblatt, and Nabers learned sign language to talk to Weisblatt's mom, who was deaf. That's amazing. Like, you know, we talk about these guys and these players and their stats and what they can bring to a team. I don't think we talk enough about intangibles and character and what these guys can bring to a locker room. And you look at a kid like Jake Nabors, that's a huge thing. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever taken the time. Like, I can do the sign alphabet. I learned when I was very young. I had a camp counselor who showed me. But that's it. And that's a lot for anybody to know. He can, and I've spoken to Jake. He can speak fluently with Ozzie's mom. That's a huge deal. Like, if you can have a kid who does that, who's willing to do that, that's the kind of person, not just player, it's the kind of person I think you'd want to have in your organization in some form or fashion.
That's an awesome story. And I'm glad, John brought that up. And it'll be cool, Adam. I know you're kind of working on something. Hopefully something comes of it down the road in the future. But Ozzie Weisblatt is a player that I think is on a lot of teams' radar for this draft, particularly in the first round. The thing that kind of caught my eye, caught my ear, I should say, Jack Finley, the right-handed center from Spokane. Now, John said that he might be a potential diamond in the rough in this draft. I know that Central has him ranked number 38 in 61 games this year, 57 points and 19 goals. You know, Finley's that type of guy. When you look at his size, Adam, 6'5¾", 213 pounds. I mean, if you can get a centerman, particularly a right-handed center, in the league today, right-handed, that type of size, that's exceptional. I mean, a real good penalty killer. From some of the notes I was taking when John was talking about him at their final meetings, you know, earlier in April, but size and reach, can retrieve those loose pucks. Really smart, heavy, reliable player, powerful, and has a real good compete level. He wears number 26 after his father. Good player. I know he participated in the CHL-NHL Top Prospects game, did some good things there. He was born in Kelowna. That's where he played his minor hockey before he moved on to Spokane. So really like what Jack Finley can bring to the table here at that size and that ability that he has. I think John's right. Maybe someone will be getting a diamond in the rough, late second, early third round in Jack Finley.
Yeah, I like Jack just the time I saw him at Top Prospects. I spoke to his dad, Jeff Finley, former NHL defenseman, now works as an amateur scout for the Winnipeg Jets. And I asked him, I said, you got three boys. How did they all end up as forwards? You're a defenseman. And he said that when Jack was a kid, he would just wait back and let the play to come to him. He wouldn't skate because he was just so much bigger. He could just block out the net and block shots. And he would always tell Jack's coaches, make him be a forward so he skates. So that's how Jack became a forward, loved the position. So, yeah, more on that down the road on NHL.com as we continue to cover the 2020 NHL Draft. But that is going to do it for this episode of NHL Draft Class. Another great show. Thanks to John Williams from NHL Central Scouting for coming on. And again, we're covering every inch of the NHL Draft. We had Joey Tenute talking the OHL draft prospects. We had Dan Marr from NHL Central Scouting coming on to talk about the final rankings and how the final meetings were done over video conference for the first time ever. Not to mention mock drafts, exclusive interviews with players and prospects and scouts. All great stuff if you subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. But Mike, just another fun episode, right?
Another fun episode. It was great to get John Williams on to talk dub. It's always a lot of fun. And we'll be having a lot more of these type episodes forthcoming. So please stay tuned and stay safe.
Absolutely, Mike. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.